let's just give this time to the Lord as we receive His word. Let us know right in the center of God's heart, it is perfect love for all of us. So when we come to receive His word, we know He speaks words of truth, words of life. Whatever you need today, you know that God is going to speak to you in such a marvelous way that you know His words to you is alive and active, that will bring you health and healing and wholeness. Amen. You know, people often ask me, what kind of church is First Light? Are you Pentecostal? Are you charismatic? Are you evangelical or mainline or reform or something else? Ask your neighbor, what kind of church are we? Are we Pentecostal, charismatic, evangelical, mainline, reform or something else? Okay. Who says something else? No, we are all the above. Right, because I think the way we see it is if it's in the Bible, if it's in the scripture, we will find an expression for it somewhere in our church life, isn't it? If you can find it, you can have it. So while the rest of the world try to box us in and try to define who we are, I think we need to bear in mind that we are the people of God. We love the Word of God. We love what He's saying to us. And we also know that the Bible was first experienced before it was written, isn't it? Abraham had to experience what he experienced. Moses had to experience what he experienced before all this was written down for all of us. And so we are beneficiaries there. When we see the experience, it's basically about the relationship with God. And so when we have the Bible in our hands, we must bear in mind that the Bible is not written to good people to do good things. Rather, the Bible is written to tell us we have a good God who does great things for us, even though we were yet sinners. And that is the very gospel itself. So last week, we finished so-called our series on the Gospel of Matthew. How many of you have been blessed by that whole series? Right. Good to see some hands, and I also pray that you have read all the whole entire gospel at least once just to get us to soak it in. But what is important for us as we have studied the series of Matthew, I just want to use this Sunday just to wrap up some points, because next month when we gather in May, we're going to start a whole new series on the Acts of the Apostles. Hallelujah. Right, we talk about action, right? Not just always listening to concepts, but Acts of the Apostles tells us how we act out what God is calling us to do. But when we read the gospel, according to Matthew, we are called to bring the culture of the kingdom on earth. We are called to bring the culture of kingdom on earth that we love God and we love people. And everywhere we go, we just need to demonstrate the love of God for people as much as God loves us. We all know once we are in Christ, even before we are in Christ, God loves us on the same level as He loved Jesus Christ. God did not say, I love everything about Jesus Christ, I save a bit of love for you. That's not the gospel. But God tells us in His word, as much as I love my Son, and when you are in Christ, where you're incorporated into Christ, this is how much I love you. Let's look at the text this afternoon. I just want to read to us two texts. First is Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. It's not new to many of us. And today I want to talk about is what it means for us to be a church for the nation. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus came and told His disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you read through the whole four Gospels, you realize you can boil down Jesus' commandments into just two key commandments, that is to love God and to love one another. And He says that we love one another as He loved us, right? So in the Old Testament, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But in the New Covenant, love your neighbor as I love you. And God gives us the grace to love people not because we had to force it out of ourselves, but He gave us such a grace that He loves us with such a perfect love that we can love each other as He loves us. We would love to do that? Of course we love to do that. We would love people to love us as much as we love them in the power of Jesus' name. And so Jesus is very clear about the Great Commission, that we are to initiate and be intentional in going and to make disciples of all nations. And so the next text is this. How do we make disciples of all nations? It's Acts chapters 1, verse 6 to 8. So when the disciples were with Jesus, they kept asking Him, Lord, has the time come for You to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Even after 3.5 years of ministry, the disciples still think very politically about Israel being set free as a nation from the Roman Empire. But Jesus comes and gives them a higher agenda, a kingdom agenda, to say, you don't need to worry about what is going to happen to Israel. But He says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses, telling people about Me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the age. You know, some ministry builds around so-called telling you when Jesus is going to come again, right? Sometimes you come across some website or some YouTube or some books, always telling us when Jesus is going to come. But actually, Jesus is telling us, don't waste your time. Only the Father knows. So any man of God tells you that God is coming next Tuesday at 12 p.m., it's not going to happen. And sometimes it puts a lot of fear into the body of Christ. Rather, here Jesus gives us so-called His last commandment, which is supposed to be our first priority, is now you go. As you go, make disciples in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That means we are called to go to the nation. How many are excited we are called to go to nations? Okay, only Joy and myself, right? So the rest of you are going to send us. Hallelujah. Now, this is it. All of us should be excited going to the nation. And let me help you to define what are nations. Nation can be defined as what we call culture, language, ethnicity, or religion. So when Jesus tells us to go to the nation, often than not, one of the myths of mission means I must pack my bag and go overseas. Well, there is still relevance for us to go and do global mission, but the issue here lies now today. It's not just global mission, but there's what we call local mission. Amen? So God calls us into mission. Go to the nation, He says. How far should I go? Not very far, because the nations are now at our door. For instance, our city of Perth, even if it's less than 2 million people, do you know that we have more than 200 different distinct ethnic groups? Right? And 40% in Perth of population are actually born outside of Australia itself. That means if you take a stone, don't try to do that, but just imagine for a moment, you take a stone and throw at someone, most likely, that person wasn't born here, and most likely the person is of a different that ethnic group from you, right? Unless you go to Uncle Billy, that's different. Now, but most time, anywhere you go, you throw something, you're going to find someone who's different. And so you are talking about the nations has come into Australia. Next slide. What we need to bear in mind is this. We have nations, so-called inner nations. Okay? Nations in a nation. All right? But first, we have nations. So Jesus said, be My disciples, telling people about Me everywhere. Where? In Jerusalem. Okay, sorry, my slide is a bit off. But just imagine. In Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria are supposed to be here under similar culture and to the ends of the earth. When the disciples were in Jerusalem, all of them were Hebraic Jews. They all speak Hebrew or Aramaic. But when Jesus said, you now go to Judea and Samaria, they have similar culture. The Samaritan shares quite a lot of similarity with the Jews, at least in terms of the Torah, but other part of the culture, slightly different. So in the Bible, you can tell these were the Hebraic Jews. They are the ones who speak Hebrew. Then those who have a similar culture will be the Hebraic Jews as well as the Hellenistic Jews. and those who are totally so-called different culture to the ends of the earth. So next slide will tell us this thing, is that within this nation of Australia, there are nations, right? There are those who are of the same culture as us. There are those who are of similar culture as us. Right, so same culture can be everyone who is born here, so-called Aussies or Australian, or those of us who are raised here, right? And we have seen so-called, even though somehow we may come from a different ethnicity, we have similar culture with the rest of Australia. Or for us Singaporeans and Malaysians, we have similar culture, come from a similar history. But then we meet people who has a totally different culture aspect from us. Now, looking at where we are right now, can you detect someone who has the same culture as you? Yeah, my wife. Okay, other than that. Right? Now, can you find anyone who has some similar culture as you? Yes. Can you find someone who is totally of a different culture as you? Yes, Chandra is you. Just in case no one knows. Now he feels very awkward. Now, in first light, right, by and large, most of us share similar culture, or we have people of different culture. And in that time, Jesus' time, the Jews and the Gentiles were totally different culture. No self-respecting Jew would ever associate themselves with a Gentile. That's why for Paul, he took a big jump. Paul hated the Jews who became Christian, and Paul would never associate himself with Gentiles. But when Jesus came and healed his eyes, so-called through a grace healed eyes, Paul went out to what? Evangelize to the Gentiles. Before then, he was a hero to his own Hebrew Jews. But after that, when he had this calling to go into the Gentile land to preach the gospel, what happened? He got stoned, he got imprisoned, he got persecuted by his own Jewish people. That's how big a shift Paul did. And even for us as a history, as a church, you know, we have a long history. We have people from our community, our family, who have gone into so-called a different land, like Matt and Ed went to Thailand, or Kui and Grace went to Nepal. And then we have Sonia and Kevin, who have similar culture as Chinese, but all the way they went to mainland China, and right now they are back here, and God is calling them to go and to reach out to the communities here, like the Bhutanese or the Nepali, totally different culture. Aren't you glad that there are things that's happening within ourselves? But when we talk about nation, I don't want us to think nation is always divided by ethnicity or geographical nation. But there are nations that, what I will say, belong to specific groups of people that gone through a same situation in life who have similar experiences. That's why if you look at the New Testament, there was always, in almost every letter of Paul, there's always a ministry or take care of the widows and orphans. Widows are those who have lost their husband, and they are a group of people like a nation. They've gone through a similar situation, or orphans, or even those who are prisoners. And even in our country, there are nations like refugees, people who came out of their own land. They become a kind of nation for themselves. They've gone through similar kind of situation. Or we have foster care, or we have food bank, people who are in need. And even in our community, we have people who are involved with refugee ministry, like the Karen, or people like Anna, who is involved in the food pantry. And even for Auntie Annie, you know, she on Saturday goes with a group of people singing to seniors in aged care or in hospital. That is people who are going through something similar, and we have people in our congregation who can step into this kind of situation and want to make a difference. Aren't we glad? Can we give a clap to all these people who try to make a difference? And this is important. So in one sense, all of us, even though I have a same culture or similar culture or different culture, where do I fit in? Okay? Because there are places that in our workplace or in our campus or in on recreational ground, we meet people who come from similar activities or doing similar job, but yet we connect, we get a sense of connection with them. And this is important for us to bear in mind, that God is calling us to be a church for the nations. That means we do not just want one shade of people coming to First Light. We want all nations to come. Do you agree with me? Everyone say all nations. Say to your neighbor, all nations. So nation is not geographical. It's not just by color of their skin or the ethnic group. But nation can mean people group that belong to a certain culture that they have yet to see the gospel. And I believe with all my heart, not all culture knows the kingdom, but the kingdom of God has embraced all culture. And it's for us to unveil to people where the kingdom of God is. So mission is always opening to people's eyes, or opening people's eyes to the very heart of God, that God loves them. Mission is never a geographical distance. It is always a cultural distance. Is that once we are saved in Christ, we do not lose our racial identity. If you are Chinese, you are Chinese. You are Indian, you are Indian. But now in Christ, we are more than being Chinese or born than being Indian. You get what I'm saying? Now we are all new creation in Christ. If we are all new creation in Christ, means if I meet someone of a different race or a different group altogether, I do not see them just by the color of their skin. I do not see them by their race. I see them in the very image of God. And once I see people in the image of God, things become very different. Okay, unlike some of you, I'm actually a coward. All right, I'll tell you how cowardly I am. Once in a while, I go to the city, and I will walk past so-called the art museum. I'll see a couple of homeless people. I try not to look at them. All right, every time I walk, I don't want to see. Because I'm afraid if my eyes and that person's eye get connected, I need to do something. I know none of you had this kind of struggle, but I struggle with that. All right, so I walk, I try not to see. And I try to give myself a reason. Oh, why should I help that person? All right, I try to give myself a reason not to do anything. Maybe the person is lazy, doesn't want to work, why must I help? Anyway, the government has Centrelink, they can do something. I give a lot of reason not to do anything. Until one day the Lord spoke to me and said to me, what do you see? Do you see just a homeless person? But do you see me in that person? Do you see my image in that person? And that changes me. I'm still a coward, actually. But I love God. I love Jesus. And I say to the Lord, I say, if you are in them, Lord, you know I'm a coward. Help me to see them in you, or help me to see you in them, that I can make a difference. We are called to go to the nations. But sometimes we act as if we never got to hear that command. Remember last week I say, why look for a call when you have already been commissioned? Remember that? And just in case you did not know, I commissioned all of you already. Now you just have to ask for assignments. We go to the nation, and in First Light, you get to hear the gospel preached to you every day. If you read my devotion every day or you hear our sermons, you get to hear the gospel preached to you every day in one sense. But here in our city, there are people who never heard the gospel at least one time. Is it right? Next slide tells us this. You know, what kind of conversation can we have with people? Some of us are very awkward. We don't know how to have conversation with people. Right, and we are told, in every polite conversation, never talk about sex, politics, or religion. That's practically the whole Bible. Right, you can't talk about these things, polite conversation. What else can we talk? And most time we talk about the weather. But actually, whether you are atheist or agnostic, or whether you are Christian, or you're Buddhist, or you're Taoist, or whatever it is, or Muslim, everyone has three main concerns in their life. One is this, their physical state. Most time you ask people, how are they? They'll tell you their health situation, right? I'm just recovering, or I think I'm getting a cough, or I'm not feeling well. Everyone has that same so-called three important concerns in their life, right? So one is their physical state. Secondly, is their the present situation. Last year, COVID affected everyone, right? All of us were at a place, we are fearful, we're not sure what's happening, and now everyone's talking about the vaccine. Should you take or you shouldn't take, right? Everyone has their own conspiracy theory, right? Whatever it is. What about you, Pastor? Don't ask me, right? Now, then everyone talks about future forecasts. I hope my health will hold on till next 10 years. I hope my investment will pay off in the next 20 years. People always talk about their future. When we talk about future, end of the day, the conversation will always talk about where are they spiritually. Everybody in life will talk about their physical state, their present situation, and their future forecast. But do you know the Bible already have answers to all this? And we can enter into any conversation politely and not come as Bible basher, but we can enter politely in those conversations. Because end of the day, what we need to know that the face of mission is changing. Mission is now at our doorstep because of the global diaspora of people. There are 200 different ethnicities in Perth alone. Just like a few days ago, I was sharing our church Facebook about how I was at this pastor's lunch, or we were praying for the Burmese churches, and I was talking to the Burmese pastor. And sometimes a polite conversation could be, where are you from? Of course, I know they are from Burma, right, originally. And I say, which part of Burma are you from? I'm from Mandalay. And, oh, Mandalay, which part, where is Mandalay? Oh, somewhere up north, south of the area, or no. And what's Mandalay famous for? Yeah, and the person began to tell me, and oh, which particular group become a Karen? Okay, what does Karen, how is Karen different from the Burmese? And they would tell me story. You see, people will remember you when you spend time talking about them. Because when you talk about to them about who they are, they appreciate you recognize they not just only exist, but they have a story. And too often we try to rush in and try to push the gospel down people's throat. Don't do that. We move at the speed of trust. We move at how God wants us to move, is that we build trust. And let me explain more how we can do that. What we need to realize at this point, that mission is no longer a trip overseas. Mission is an intentional lifestyle. So how do we become a church for the nation? Okay, next slide is this. How do we become that? Let me give you two things that must happen concurrently. Two things we must do concurrently. The first one, the slide is, we need to have a personal and intentional lifestyle of praying and waiting on the Lord. This is something you have to do. I can't do it for you. But you yourself must make a decision that this is going to be personal between me and God. It is going to be intentional. I'm going to pray and I'm going to wait for the Lord. A few years ago, this happened to me. God was putting Vietnam in my heart. And God said, I want you to go and preach in Vietnam. And at that time, I have no context. I have no one that I know about Vietnam. I asked for people who were involved in mission in Vietnam. There was no door open, but I kept praying. And a few years later, I was connected with someone, and that's how I brought Sang and Dan Pao with me, and later, you know, Sang himself and Anna, who caught on to Vietnam, and year after year, except for COVID, right now this year we can't go. But for the next past 3 years, they say that this is where God is calling us. This is what we want to sow into it. You know, years ago when First Light was founded, I can tell you, God says, I want you to have vision. Okay, this is God giving this vision. I want you to believe everyone in First Light will take a short-term mission trip. And the first thing I told the Lord, it's too expensive. Because at that time, there was no budget air. I remember the era, there's no budget air. But the Lord gave me that challenge, and I said, okay, Lord, if you want us to organize mission trips, we will do so. And I was putting this in plan, I was sharing with our leaders, and on just like a few days before I was going to share, the announcement came, Perth is going to have budget air, hallelujah. So if there's budget air in Perth, it's because of First Light Church. Come, let's take credit for that. It's true. God moves in such a way. But it is about us that we need to pray and wait on the Lord, learn about the community around us and recognizing whether I am suffering from people blindness. Remember I told you, I was blinded to so-called homeless people. And I remember Jackie Bullinger, who once was here, he was doing ministry in Hong Kong with drug addicts. He said, it takes an anointing to see the poor. And because of those lessons I learned, I pray almost every day is, Lord, am I suffering from people blindness? Do I have people blindness disease? Who I cannot see? Help me to see. Move me from people blindness to people vision. And one of the biggest unnoticed or ignored mission field in this land, I'll tell you, is the LGBTI communities. Most of us know they are around, but most of us may have people blindness. We choose not to see them. But if I go in conversation with one of you one by one, I'm sure every one of you knows someone from that community. Think about it. And I use the word communities because they are as diverse as they come. But these communities are full of people made in the image of God then, and they are in need of the gospel. Question is, do I have people blindness? Some of you may say, no, Pastor, I'm busy already. You ask me to talk about nations, talk about going out to people. I don't have the time. The truth is this, most of the things we do, most activity that we do have no kingdom productivity. Sometimes we keep ourselves busy, but there is no kingdom productivity. A lot of things we do, we don't have to do more. Let's say, if you want to go to a workplace, you want to be a witness for Jesus Christ, you don't have to do extra. You're already going to work anyway, right? You're sitting with all your colleagues. If you go and buy coffee, buy an extra mug and say, Lord, who do you want me to bless? If you're going for lunch, you can say, Lord, who can I invite to join me for lunch? And some of you say, no, I never go for lunch, Pastor. I pack my own lunch. You can always pack an extra lunch, right? You get what I'm saying? We don't have to do extra more. Right? If you go and buy something, you like the item. You like it so much, it's so functional for you. Why can't you buy another one and see who can bless? And you do not know what is possible. You know, some books I read, and Joanne can testify, some books I read, some of these books, I'm so blessed, I tell Joanne, I must buy 10 more copies of it because I want to bless people with those books. Right? I know a certain church member, she was so blessed by a can opener, she actually went by me that can opener. Pastor, you use this, you never have broken arms anymore, hands anymore, kind of thing. This is the best can opener there is. All we need to do is buy something extra, bless someone, have a conversation about them. Be interested about their story, about their journey. You do not know what God can do. Is it possible, church? Yes, it's possible. I tell your neighbor, it's possible. You know, I think Pastor talking to you, right? God do not cause us and save us so that we can live comfortable and convenient life. God calls us that He bring us deep into the center of His heart, that we are called to the ministry of reconciliation. And this is my next point, is that if I need to make a personal, intentional lifestyle, it also involves my whole community here. Right? What do we do as a whole community? Right, the next slide will tell us. Is that we need to have a concerted, ongoing effort to build a strong culture of welcome and hospitality. Okay, let's be honest now. How many of you, I need all you to participate in this. Concerted, right? Concerted. Concerted means everybody. Just in case, yeah, you do not know what the meaning of concerted means. Okay, I need everybody to testify. How many of you say First Light is a very welcoming church? How many of you say First Light is not a very welcoming church? Okay, how many say that? I just don't know. You see, we are divided already. Right? We're not even divided by doctrine. We just divided by opinions. Like, yeah, I find welcome. Or I don't find we are welcoming. That depends how much we want to broaden the definition of welcome. But we know that church, we need to always be a welcoming church and a hospitable church. Right? Not hospital, but hospitable church. Okay? And how soon it happens or how long it takes depends on all of us coming together and say we need to do a concerted, ongoing effort to make that happen. And so your help and your support is critical. I do not know the process, actually. You ask me right now, how are we going to get there? But I can tell you the end result is this. Right? So don't tell me now. I can't tell you how to get from point A to point B. You get what I'm saying? A lot of things must happen. But I can tell you when we reach point B, what will happen. The person who comes into our church, a visitor who comes in, a new person comes in, the first thing they come into this church, they will say, I feel safe here. I can let my guard down. I belong here. That's the first thing people will say. The moment they come here, they see Irvin. Oh, I feel safe here. Oh, not because of his good looks, but he ushers the presence of God into this place. You get what I'm saying? I feel I belong. I feel something different. There's one sign I will tell you. Anyone comes to First Light Church will say, I feel safe here. I feel belong here. I can let my guard down. I can be who I am. And the second thing happens is when you go into the city, when people look at Anton, when people look at Doug, and what would they say? I met a lot of Christians. But I can tell you, Anton or Doug, you guys are from First Light Church. Okay, a bit of branding here. When I use the word Hillsong, first thing what you all say, great music. Right? Great sound. Great lighting. And half the people after that needs healing of their eyes and their ears. Okay, don't tell them the Hillsong. I know the pastor. When we mention certain church, people immediately know the branding of that church. But when people talk about First Light, they're not going to ask you, are you Pentecostal or charismatic or evangelical? They say, you are that church that welcome people. Everyone who goes to your church say they feel safe, they feel belong, and they can let their guard down. Won't you like that? I got that revelation some years ago when Joanne and I was back in Singapore. We were buying some stuff, and we went to this shop, and this shop was run by someone who was working from a neighborhood, a neighboring country. And I was talking to the person. And the person say, no, sir, I met all kinds of Singaporeans. I've been working here in Singapore for 2-3 years. I know you are Singaporeans by the way you talk. My accent gave me away. But there's something un-Singaporean about you. I said, huh? Right? What is that un-Singaporean? I can see that you are very kind. You are caring. Hallelujah. I'm Singaporean, but un-Singaporean. You are in Perth, but you are un-Perth in a sense. You get what I'm saying? When people see us, when you enter into any space, the moment they see Anton or Doug or, you know, or Shane or Martin, whatever, any one of us, you are from First Light Church because there's something different about you. Won't you like that? It's because we are all working together. But one of the things is this, we need to bear in mind is we need to have a strong culture of welcome and hospitality. Because for many of us who are migrants or refugees, we were welcomed into this land. And for us as a family, we were welcomed into this church. Remember? Next week will be our 9th month in this building. Someone in the kingdom of God opened doors for us to come here. So we are welcomed to this land. We are welcome into this church. Now the question is, who is God asking me to welcome? So, in conversation with some of our people, he said that, no, Pastor, no, telling people to be welcoming is not so simple. Sometimes we need to teach people how to be welcoming. Okay? 3 simple things. what to do and what not to do. Three simple things, and we'll close. Number one, you see someone new here. Don't ask, are you new here? Nope, cannot. If I hear this, oh. The person could have a new hairdo. Or have a new shirt or lipsticks. I mean, look at Josh Goh. One Sunday, he looks like a preppy young executive. And next Sunday, he looked like an MMA fighter. Am I embarrassing you, Josh? All right, I'll try harder next week. Okay, don't ask, are you new here? Say, I don't think we met. My name is. Can we do that? Practice with your neighbor now. I don't think we met. My name is. Okay, very good. Pass. Second thing, never do. And I don't know. How old are you? Try, guess how old I am. No, don't do that. So that's creepy. Okay? Ask, what do you think of service today? What do you think of service today? Now try to your neighbor now. Don't ask, how old are you? What do you think of service today? Pastor Richard is very good, hey. Oh, I'm writing notes. Oh. Third thing is this. Never ask or never say, we need more young people here. Okay, don't do that. Say, great to meet you. Say it to each other now. Let's practice. Great to meet you. Okay, that's all we need to do. We know we succeed when people come, they will say, I feel safe here. I can let my guard down. I belong here. Closing story. This man went to his tailor to get fitted on his suit. And when he was suited by Zotar the tailor, he looks in the mirror, the suit looks wrong. One sleeve was long, one sleeve was short. So Zotar the tailor said, why don't you just shift your hands a bit? It looks okay. So he shifted a bit. Then he realized the length was of the trousers was also a bit off. He said, why don't you shift so-called your body weight a bit? It looks right. Then he noticed the back part of the jacket was sticking out. Say, all you need to do is stick backwards. It looks perfectly fine. So after the next few minutes of him adjusting his whole body, wow, he looks great. He left the tailor shop. Walking down the street, someone saw him and said, I know who made that suit. That suit was made by Zotar the tailor. Say, how you know that? Because only Zotar the tailor can make such a perfect suit for such a grotesque body of yours. There is no Zotar the tailor in First Light Church. People do not need to contort their body to feel fitted in this community. Amen. People should be who they are and know the very grace of God. You and I belong here. In closing, is if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus, or you don't know what you really believe, and yet you choose to spend your afternoon with us, thank you. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us. And I just pray that you may know the God who loves us, because that is his central message in the Bible, that he had called us as believers into the ministry of reconciliation. And if you are a believer, if you are a follower, ask God to give light to you, especially if you are suffering from people blindness. Then ask God to transit that people blindness to people vision. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank you for your glorious word, that your word will not come back to you empty, but will go forth to accomplish its purpose. I just thank you, Father, on this day you've given us. What a great calling, what a great commissioning that you've called us into the ministry of reconciliation. I just thank you for those who yet to know you, but today I just pray that they will hear the gospel, they may know how much you love them. And for all of us who know the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially for any one of us who have people blindness, and you feel you have people blindness, I want you to do just an act. Just put both your hands on your eyes and ask God to heal those eyes right now. what people blindness you may have. Remember, there's no condemnation in the gospel. There's only healing. Maybe someone had did you great hurt and great harm, and because of that, you choose to dislike that whole cultural group. You need to realize it's just that one person, but Jesus died for the whole cultural group. In Jesus' name, I pray for every one of us who pray that God will heal us of that people's blindness. You are healed in Jesus' name. Wherever you go tomorrow, you're going to see that people differently. You're going to see them afresh. You're going to see people so differently that you know they are all made in the image of God. That Father, in Jesus' name, help us not to be critical. Help us not to be presumptuous. Help us to comfort people before we start putting forth all our conviction on them. Make us people of comfort, people of joy. That anywhere we go, people can say, you guys are from First Light, because there's life in you. There's difference in you, because the gospel is in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all just stand and just close in worship and praise the Lord.